Alrighty, hello everyone and welcome back to the Reformed Dissenters. That's us. We are the show where Reformed Christians dissent against popular ideas of culture by asserting a biblical worldview. I'm Bruce Johnson, joined of course, and as always, and for quite a while, by my brother Jacob Johnson.
Hello everybody.
And it's just us. It's been a while, but it's just us. And we are here on this wonderful, glorious Wednesday morning, top of the morning to you, to talk about current events from a biblical perspective. And today,
I haven't heard that phrase before.
I know. I'm trying
especially
to revive
from
it.
You.
Is this working? Did it? Is it coming back now?
I don't know. Is it like the Hawkmo? Are we going to get the Hawkmo back?
Or the reverse Hawkmo?
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever the kids are calling it. I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. If that's not a thing, please make it a thing.
Yeah.
No, I just need a top hat. Just top of the morning to you. Yeah, whatever. Today's current events are they're big. In case you missed it, something happened last week. We aren't quite sure exactly what it is. There's not really a name for that yet, but there should be a name for whatever the heck went down last week fairly shortly, because it was a doozy of what some are calling a debate, others are calling just a a tussle up on stage.
Geriatrics,
yes, between two elderly gentlemen who just kind of needed to take it, I don't know, into a different room. Just be like, no, just go off stage, you know, like, can you just just go off stage? So we're going to talk about that, but it brings up a more pressing question, or rather an interesting discussion, which we'll have at the end of this episode. Why can't political strategies be Christian? I mean, we've been at this for how long? And I mean, we're not doing so well. So what gives? But before we get into all that, we have to do what we always do.
And not us personally, but you know.
Yeah. We've been at this for 3 years. You know, that's a decent chunk, but still, you know, I don't feel like we're personally culpable for whatever's happening out there right now.
Takes a little while to grow some fruit, you know?
Yeah, it does. It does. We're planting seeds, I hope. But before we get into all that, we have to do what we always do, and that's our verse of the week. We have to talk about it, because that's what we always do. Our verse this week, oh, by the way, I should mention there's only one episode this week. This is it. Hello. Welcome to the only episode this week. So you only get to hear this once, but it's okay, because we covered this so
many
times.
You shall not be graced with our presence for the rest of this week.
Yes. My somewhat flat and boring presence and Jacob's rambunctious, insane, poking the bear political presence. You won't hear us.
I like poking bears. They're fluffy.
Yes. Did you hear the whole run into the woods with the bear over a man debate thing?
Which would you choose? Yeah, I don't get it. I'm like,
I don't get it.
Can I just not either one, please?
Yeah. How about, you know, not a total stranger in the woods, bear or man? Like, no? Option C, please. Thank you. Or I'll just carry an axe everywhere. I don't know. Or a gun.
How about you just lie down and, you know, just pretend I'm dead, you know?
Yeah. And that should work for either one.
Situations.
Yeah. There's no problems with this whatsoever. Our verse this week is Ephesians 6, verse 12. It says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Ephesians 6:12 packs a punch. We bring this up on the show so many times. I've brought this up in so many wrap-ups. Jacob's brought this up in so many theological discussions when we have discussion topics or verse of the week things or just current events or just life in general, because this is very potent. But passages like this are not always meant to be read on their own. There are so many other passages in the Bible that talk about the power, kingship, ruling authority of our cosmic king, of the king who rules and reigns over the universe. So many passages, Psalm 2, Daniel 7, 14, Psalm 110, verse 1, and the list goes on and on and on. And the New Testament and the Old Testament are chock full of the kingship of Christ. This passage sheds specific light on this, and it points to our duty as Christians. Living in light of the kingship of Christ, the reign of Christ, the authority and power, all authority in heaven and on earth being given to him, what do we do? Well, we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We say, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, what do we do with that? How does that change us? We read passages like Matthew 5:13, salt and light, but if the salt loses its taste, it's good for nothing. So what does it mean for us not to lose our taste? How do we as Christians hold on to something that is apparently fundamentally important? It's our charge. It's our duty. It's our commission. What is it? It's to wrestle, right? We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Ah, so we don't wrestle. No, we do. What do we wrestle against? Rulers, authorities, cosmic powers. I mean, we wrestle against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. This is what we're doing every day. This is the Christian life. It's to wrestle. It's to fight. It's to stand. It's to be men and women serving our King. And we do that in so many capacities. It's what our show's central theme has been about. We focus on Matthew 5:13 because we're supposed to be the salt and light of our culture. We're supposed to be the ones who maintain cohesion and preserve our society. When the Christians don't do that, when the pillar and ground of truth collapses, you get geriatrics up on a stage screaming at each other with no real tangible results. And with that, I'm going to pass it over to Jake to talk about our current events today.
Yeah, this discussion is not just about the debate, but the debate is definitely what spurred on this discussion. So last Thursday, as all pretty much know, the presidential debate between Joe Biden and Donald Trump was held, and let's be honest, it wasn't a surprise, the outcome. From the stuttering of Biden and blanking out mid-sentence to the heated back and forth about who is better at golf. And I am not joking. That is literally something that was discussed. Yeah, I'll let that marinate for a second. So, very much so, the debate and my mom, our head researcher, came out of watching this debate and said,
did she actually watch it?
Just keep. Yes, she did. Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's how I got a lot of my information.
We don't pay her enough.
Yeah. Yeah. But she came out of it and saying, these debates are getting worse and worse every year. And let's be honest, that is a deteriorating culture that has lost its way from God. And that is why. It is very sad to say, though, that from this debate, Trump actually looks really, really good in comparison to Biden. It is, again, sad to say. Not that I want Biden to look good comparatively to Trump, but I would rather both of them look like idiots alongside of each other. However, the event or the situation inside of this debate that garnered the most attention was something the Republicans have been saying all along. And that is the question of, is Biden really fit to be president? From, like I said at the beginning, from stuttering and blanking out and literally just looking as if he has no idea what's going on. And, you know, Republicans have been talking about this since the beginning, since even, I do believe, last year's presidential debates. He was very similar. A little bit more coherent.
Last term.
But he's gotten worse, but this is something that has been talked about a lot. Like, you really can't go to any conservative news media, which, is there one? Aside from The Blaze or Daily Wire? Because Fox isn't. I will agree with that. Fox is not. But,
nope.
Beside the point, they will tell you, they will bring up plenty of times of clips and stuff about Biden just misspeaking and literally saying weird stuff. It's like, where is that coming from? He has no idea what's going on. The funniest thing is that even Trump mentioned that in the debate. Biden had said something completely incoherent, and it went over to Trump's turn to speak, and he was like, does anyone know what he just said? I mean, I don't even think he knows what he just said. And the best. That was like the best. It's like, great. Thanks. Thanks, Biden. You just made Trump look like he just gave a quippy remark, even though that's literally what every single citizen is thinking.
Something I was discussing with a friend of mine here in Moscow was, you know, it's like we brought that up and it's like, isn't that awesome? That's like classic Trump is what he was saying. And I'm like, I know. That was great. That was cool. I still don't like this guy, but it's not like Trump is suddenly good. It's just so bad. The other side is so bad that relative to that, anything is great. I mean, just literally pointing out, I mean, I honestly hope we don't get to the point where the emperor has no clothes, but let's be honest. I mean, at this point, that's off the table. Anyone figuratively or literally saying the emperor has no clothes at this point is like,
yeah,
wow, look at that. Whoa, look what they just ripped into shreds.
The funniest point that I heard in doing this research is someone said that the system that CNN set up, that the whole like the way that they set everything up and like muting the mics when it moves over to a different president speaking, I'm like, someone said that it was like, that was perfect for Trump. That made him look even better because now he can't make all of these stupid remarks.
Yes.
Midway through this person talking. Biden talk.
Last time he just literally bullied him. And everyone was like, oh, look what he did to poor Biden. He didn't even give him time to talk. Yeah. This is just sad. Look at how mean he is. Right. Trump is just a meanie. You know, like.
Exactly. Yeah. And he couldn't look like that. And to be honest, if you look at Trump's, they had even Trump's video camera up as Biden was talking. And Trump is looking very respectful. Character development, anybody? Maybe.
development.
It's sad to say his facial expressions are something as a good thing. Him like actually having these
in a debate, a man who's in his 80s, I think, 70s, late 70s, early 80s, who was a president, has been a business owner for how long, and we're now like applauding him. Wow, you acted like, you know, just a cordial debater. Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. So
let's come to this.
Yes, exactly. What makes it very interesting is that not only are the Republicans saying this now, after this debate, even the Democrats are questioning whether or not Biden's cognitive abilities are fit for the presidential sphere. Very, very interesting. And I think, personally, I know Bruce has a different perspective to this, I think that we're finally seeing something of where there's now a split in the Democratic Party, which is odd to me personally to see this sort of split in these. There's now two sides, right? One that say Biden, Biden, Biden. The other side that says maybe we need something else, right? Maybe plenty of Democratic news articles. Bruce was mentioning specifically Apple News literally put out a post saying, or put out a news article saying, do we need the 25th Amendment? Should we be starting to think about what the 25th Amendment says again?
It was literally that night. I knew the debates were happening. I didn't know when or what was really happening. But I knew when they were over or just about over because a headline popped up on my phone from Apple News that literally said, the 25th Amendment, here's what you need to know. And I was like, oh, I want to tune into this now.
Yeah.
What did I miss?
So all of this culminates, right? Why am I speaking about this? I said this wasn't all about the debates, but the debates kind of spurred on the conversation that I want to have coming up. But all of this kind of culminates into Chip Roy coming out and saying he will be filing a resolution to urge Vice President Kamala Harris to invoke the 25th Amendment. Now, with that being said, we must talk about what the 25th Amendment is and how it works. Because, believe me, before doing research for this, I didn't know how it worked. So, we are all in the same boat. I did not understand, and we'll go into this. First of all, I wanted to break this down step by step, because the 25th Amendment does actually go step by step and shows you what needs to happen in what order. First, the first step in the 25th Amendment, the vice president and the president's cabinet need to make a declaration, need to come together and discuss this, and make a declaration saying the president is unfit. Right? That's what first needs to happen. So it starts from the vice president. It would have to start from Kamala Harris. In which case, the vice president would immediately, from that declaration point, from the vice president making that declaration, would immediately take charge and fulfill the duties of the president. Very I think that's very interesting, that immediate shift of power there. The president then can write to Congress claiming he is fit to stay in office, in which case he will take back control, take back the position as president.
He's drafting that letter right now, I should tell you.
Yeah, yeah. So he can come back and he can assume the position again. However, if the vice president and the cabinet still deem him unfit, they can come back with a declaration and they will take back control, in which case a vote will be put to Congress to decide if the president is fit or not.
Wow.
And that would be the deciding factor after that. And then that's done. Yeah. So I think, thinking about this, though, I really enjoy this. I like the back and forth this is, because it's like, it's not just like, we think you're unfit. Gone. Like, done. Okay, sure. You're unfit. There's it's now a, process. We think you're unfit. Oh, no, I think I'm fit. And then they have to go back. Is he really unfit? Do we want to put this to a vote to Congress? No, we still think he's unfit, you know?
Yeah.
And then it comes back, and now it can, you know. So I think this is very, very good. So, but which I did want to also say, when, because this power does come into play, when the president goes and makes the claim to Congress saying he is fit, the vice president will come back into control. So the president will come into control. If they still deem him unfit, he'll be kicked out. He'll be taken out of control. The president, the vice president, will be back in power. Then the president says he is fit. Yeah, if the vice president comes back in after the president says he's fit, vice president still assumes power until Congress makes its decision. I think the idea there is that the vice president should have, if there's even a question that the president is unfit, then there should be someone else in there leading while we discuss if he is or isn't. If he is fit, then we'll put you back in that place, and that's fine. So it's very interesting, but you know, it's a lot of back and forth, but I personally think it's necessary.
No,
the main point is, yeah, yeah. I think the main point of this is that the vice president has to start this. To which do we really think Kamala Harris would even start this process? Which Bruce and I had a discussion about this. If they would or wouldn't, what's the big agenda here? What's the big idea?
Yeah,
because we can't assume that the enemy is dumb. We also can't assume the enemy is super intelligent either, because they are fools, biblically speaking.
Yeah.
But I also have to say, I don't think that Kamala Harris would actually do this, personally, myself. Then, my question being, why is Chip Roy seemingly wasting his time in trying to push this? Right? Seemingly.
It's a good question.
My answer to this, and I really like this, Steve Dace was bringing this up. In his show about Chip, after kind of explaining the whole Chip Roy situation. But what do the world politics look like? If we have this president, right, that is just stumbling over his own words, right, and is a geriatric, right, He has no idea what he's doing. Has dementia. Has, you know, all these issues, all these problems. What does that look to China, Russia, all these other bigger powers in the world? Shouldn't we be afraid of them saying we can take advantage of that?
Yeah.
Should we then think about maybe we should put a little bit, maybe we should put Kamala Harris in there, who at least doesn't have dementia. She has other issues for sure, but she doesn't have dementia. Sadly, that is the standard, but...
So she could competently run the country into the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. That is sad to say. Sad to say.
I mean,
but that is where the country is coming to.
This is the question, right? We are literally funding... We've literally put ourselves into war with Russia over what? Right. To get Russia to declare war against us. They've literally declared war, but they're at war with us. They've said, like, you know, we did a whole episode on that. And we're just funding their enemies for what in Ukraine? Giving all that money and guns and ammo and...
Yeah.
I mean, we hate ourselves. Our leaders hate us as a country. I mean... Mm-hmm. Foreign invaders come and, like, sure, they're going to defend themselves, I suppose, but it's just like they're so rich, or they're probably already on their side anyways. They're in the pocket of the people invading, so it's just like, well, right. Whatever, you know? Like, it's just, it's kind of crazy. Yeah.
So, the question is, and this comes into more of a broader discussion, and what we wanted to talk about with political strategies being biblical, what should our strategy be here, right? Because this has been explained, like, hey, if we invoke, or if we push Kamala Harris to invoke the 25th, if we actually do get the 25th invoked, and we do put Kamala Harris in there, right, then there's less of a chance of the left or the Democratic Party to put in a different candidate other than Kamala or Biden, right? I guess if Biden at that point, if he was deemed unfit, it would be Kamala. And I mean, a battle between Trump and Kamala, we know who's winning that one, right? And here's the bigger question. Should we be making that the goal? Is winning the goal? Maybe, maybe not.
I think it's interesting. To make that your goal that way, you have to change what it means to win.
Yeah.
You're moving the goalpost so that it's
you're just winning the election.
Yeah, you're winning what exactly? Right, we've changed now. Winning used to mean preserving a Christian culture. That's winning. Now winning is keep them off our backs just long enough so that I can save up my money and die, I guess, and my kids will fight this battle. Like, that's not winning. That's delaying the inevitable. Right, you're just saying, my kids can fight whatever the horrors are that I'm allowing to happen right now by voting in a man who will, okay, maybe bring down the inflation rate and maybe help make things better economically on some levels and with political trade, you know, foreign trade and all that. But is he actually going to bring us closer to righteousness as a culture? Is he actually a righteous man? No. Is he going to move us, literally him and Carrie Lake on the side of baby murder? Like, really? That's the man we want? That's, we're going to throw it all so that we can afford better gas? Right.
Our creature comforts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the idea here is, like, what was being brought up, an interesting conversation is our current Republican Party sort of, seemingly their strategy, if they even have one, it seems to be that they're just staying back, and they're just playing this turtle shell defensive position. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, a biblical strategy would sort of look like, I'm not saying that this is the end all be all, or this is the only idea, but a sort of biblical strategy, knowing and being good post-millennialists, right? We should be patient, right? We should wait for the enemy to make a mistake. We should capitalize, at least capitalize on a mistake, right? Because mm-hmm. we're all yeah. sinners. Us knowing that, us knowing even the left, even our enemies, right, are sinners. They will make a mistake. The question is, what position should we be in to capitalize on that mistake?
Yeah.
Should we, and the idea here is, from the Republican Party's perspective, what seemingly is this sort of strategy that they have is that they stay on this defensive and they wait for a mistake for the left to make a mistake. The only issue, the only problem that they have is that they can never really decide on what mistake they should capitalize on. The left is making mistakes left and right. The Republicans just say, oh, that it's not a big enough mistake. We can't
capitalize on that. They just sit there and laugh at it, right? They're like, ha ha ha,
yeah.
Look at them. They did that thing. What a blunder. That was funny. Let's laugh at it some more and do nothing about it.
Right. Right. We're not taking advantage of that mistake and taking ground. Right? We're not pushing this ground. We're not taking any land with that. We're just staying in our defensive position laughing. Or, and obviously, right, the idea here is we can have two types of positions here. Right? We can stay this defensive and capitalize on those mistakes and slowly build that up. Or we can take an offensive position, which I don't think is necessarily unbiblical. Right. It's more of a like pushing attack strategy saying, right. Yeah. Attack the, yeah, exactly. Where we push and we push our advantage and we continue pushing and pushing and pushing, waiting, not necessarily waiting, but causing them in fear to make a mistake. Right. Keep pushing them. We keep attacking those gates until we realize, oh, their archers ran away. Now we can take down the gates. Or people got scared, or bricks started to fall off of the wall. Hey, now we have an entrance. You know, whatever it may be, right? We make those mistakes happen, and we capitalize on that.
Yeah.
But I think the idea, I think a decent strategy here would be to do one of those things. Because from a biblical perspective, us knowing that everybody's a sinner, mistakes will happen, right? Us understanding, well, humans, we all will make mistakes.
Right.
The question is, well, do we be offensive with that or do we stay defensive with that? Go ahead,
Bush. Yeah. The difficulty happens in the waiting. You know, looking for an opportunity, waiting for that opportunity. A, we have to define what that opportunity means. What does it mean to be an opportunity for us? And B, what do we do while we're waiting? Right. I think a lot of people see Trump as that opportunity. I think during 2020, it was. We saw the same sort of thing. I mean, I voted for him in 2020, and I'm not going to vote for him this year. But I think there's a level of looking for an opportunity, but defining your opportunities biblically and doing things in the meantime that have more weight to it.
Right. Right.
So, for instance, we had Colton Bennett on the show who ran for office here locally in Idaho. State representative, and he's a good man. You know, his wife was an NSA student. He goes to Trinity Reformed Church. He believes that the Bible should be at the center of America again, like it was founded on and is always meant to be. He's a good man. And we need to be getting people like that, or you as a man with those qualities of a Bible-centered idea of culture needs to be preparing to run for office or getting enough support or getting involved in that way in the meantime, right? Like, you can't just sit there. Part of it, you know, there's so many ways to be involved. And I think a lot of people, a lot of Christians now are waking up to the fact that it needs to be cultural first and then politics later. Yeah. But okay, great, great. How do you teach your kids to be in politics then if they've got the cultural side? Right.
I think kind of this whole discussion comes off of the fact that Bruce and I have talked plenty of times how, hey, we should be focusing on the cultural battle because there's no way we're going to win politics.
That's our generation's fight.
Yeah.
Is that cultural war.
Yeah. If we don't win culture, we're not going to win politics. If we do not have culture, which, by the way, if this was a shock or if this was news to you, we do not own the culture. We do not have it. The culture is not ours. Yes.
We haven't had it in a while.
Right.
We gave it up.
So that should be our main focus first. What Bruce and I are kind of discussing here is, okay, when we do take over culture, how should our strategy be? Or at least also understanding we can't just take ourselves all the way out of politics and say, oh, I don't care what's going on up there. Because, hey, guess what? What happens up there is going to affect you.
Yeah.
You got to stay involved at least a little bit.
COVID taught us that.
You can't fully disconnect yourself.
Yep.
So while we're doing this little bit to stay connected with politics, how should our strategy be here? While we're putting our main focus and energy into this here. So.
Yep. And with that, thank you all so, so much for joining us, for watching us. Jacob, thank you for really just an awesome topic. Awesome research. Thanks to our mom for all the research she does constantly. And let's be honest, she took a hit for all of you guys. So I think the least you could do is drop a comment thanking her or like this video. So that way we know to pass along those to her, because she literally watched this debate, guys. I mean, come on, son. How many people can say they actually watched that whatever that was?
Well, apparently millions.
Well, I feel like she should get points for that, though. She should get a lot.
No, yeah. She should.
I didn't watch it.
She should get points for that. Yeah.
So, yeah. She get points for that. So, thank you all so, so much. We will not have a Friday episode. And we're going to be off for 2 weeks. But we will see you at the end of July. We're going to be picking a new book, so we'll announce that once we figure out what that is. And we will announce that as soon as we can. Looking forward to being back and seeing you all again. But don't forget, you can share this around, and we'd really appreciate that. trdshow.net. TRD Show. That's the Reform Dissenters. trdshow.net. You can watch all our episodes and all of our series, whatever the plural is for that. Put a Z at the end or a couple Zs. I don't know. Those are all on trdshow.net for free. And Jake's over there like, spelling.
Who cares?
We'll make it up as we go along. It's easier that way. Check out all our stuff there. And until then, have a wonderful rest of your week. Have a great weekend. Have a wonderful set of Lord's Days. And and happy 4th of July, too. That's coming up tomorrow at the time.
We missed that opportunity.
We really did. But happy 4th of July, everybody. That's happening.
Independence Thursday. Day.
Independence Freedom. Day. Freedom, indeed. But we're looking forward to being back at the end of this month. Until then, remember, everyone, in all that you do, do it as unto the Lord.